Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
And it's that time of year, everybody. Season in review. The season is done for the 2021 Cleveland Indians. And next year, we turn the page to the 2022 Cleveland Guardians. Dairy Brothers Tribecast, Matt and Todd with you on a Wednesday morning. Fresh off of last night's Yankees beatdown as the Red Sox smacked them in the AL wildcard game. Matt and Todd with you, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingTea.com/Dairy. Best t-shirts that you can get for your major sports teams in Cleveland. Todd, the Tribe finishes 80-82. Hammy said it best after the game the other day, that the memories and all that continue, and we got to figure out a name for the show. The Tribecast will be no more.
I hope everybody got to listen to it. And if you did it, you can find it in my timeline on Twitter at TD Guardians KU. From, I don't know, it was probably like 3 or 4 days ago.
Well, the Indians posted it yesterday too.
Oh, they did? Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't see that. It was a great
speech. The Guardians.
Yes. It was a great speech by Hammy. And basically just saying, listen, this is still our baseball team. And no matter what the name is, there are thousands of cities that would kill to have a Major League Baseball team in their city. And we have it. And let's not take that for granted. And I couldn't agree more. And you know what? We've talked about this many times. Yes, 80 and 82, very disappointing. But and losing, you know, basically three-fifths of your rotation, four-fifths of your rotation at one point in the season. And so it was going to be, it was an uphill battle, and it wasn't a great season. First under 500 season in the Terry Francona era. But I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism. And I don't see how they're any worse off next year than they were this year. I mean, this year, nothing seemed to go their way. So, you know, call it a lost season, you know, call it whatever you want. But I think there's reason for optimism. Many reasons we will talk about coming up. And I don't think they're in a bad spot. I really don't. I mean, the Yankees have a payroll of, $250 million? They won as many playoff games as the Indians won this year. So there you go.
Yeah, that was a pretty ugly last night, almost as ugly as the John Sterling or Matt Vasgersian call the Giancarlo Stanton single off the wall, where it's like these announcers now are just trying so hard to be fun and cool, and I'm going to do my one-liner, and it's like, why don't you call it as you see it and wait and do it once the ball, I don't know, leaves the stadium or goes over the fence.
Do you think John Sterling was there?
No, I think he called it from New York.
Okay, so maybe I give him, I can't give him a pass. Vasgersian was definitely there, though, right? He was in the stadium.
Oh, yeah, gotta be.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed that. I mean,
you're trying to be too cute, you know, like, you know, it's like Gus Johnson.
John Sterling was like, went into the full at his high, at his far, and he was like out of the stadium, a Stantonian blast. And then he's like, what did I miss? Stanton standing on first. Are you kidding? I mean, he missed, went off the wall.
Yay. Not good. But look, I mean, the Tribe is, you know, you look at the end of the year and, you know, we wrap up the season and you go, all right, they didn't finish 500. Shout out to Zach Meisel, of course, of The Athletic and the Selby is Godcast for predicting at the start of the year they'd win 80 games, and they won 80 games. I don't think anybody would have predicted that, you know, Shane Bieber would miss most of the season, Savali, all these, you know, at one point the rotation was just such a mess because there was nobody left in it. And then you had Quantrill, you know, starting in the bullpen, had to move him to the rotation. McKenzie had to go down. I mean, there was a lot of things that went into play here. Some guys were disappointing, Logan Allen among them. But like you said, I'm with you. I see optimism. I like the fact that finally this younger generation of player is coming. The question is, which guys are in, which guys are out? And also, what's the payroll really going to look like? Terry Pluto wrote a column this morning and basically was like, yeah, the payroll could jump up, but how much? And there's no guarantees. And then, you know, you got teams that supposedly were going to be spending all this money in the offseason, including the unnamed team. And now their GM backpedaling, saying, I don't know, nobody said anything about a big splash. Well, wait a minute. There's all these rumors about Carlos Correa coming to Detroit to reunite with A.J. Hinch. Except you've got to spend, that would be a big splash. If your GM is saying publicly, no big splashes, well, sorry, Carlos Correa is going to want 35 a year.
So here's what I think. I think a lot of that has to do with the uncertainty of the collective bargaining agreement, which expires when this World Series is up, because it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, they're going to spend, they're going to add payroll here in Cleveland because there's reasons to do so. You know, you got you had this second lowest payroll in baseball. You have basically nobody on the books, you know, other than like the club option that for Jose Ramirez that you're going to pick up. Nobody is really truly on the books for next year, which is very rare. Oh. And with the new with the name change and everything, they're going to have to sell more tickets. They're going to have to, you know, they're going to sell more merchandise. I think they want to make some sort of a splash, even though, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to sign someone like Carlos Correa or, you know, one of those top tier guys, but they're going to add more. If you can't sustain a payroll of $100 million and we're at like $50 million in baseball, then there's a problem with your organization. But, you know, be that as it may, I think with the name change and, you know, hopefully you'll have a new minority investor in there, which will help infuse some cash, and they'll do something. You know, there's nowhere to go but up, really, if you think about it. There really isn't.
Right, right. When your payroll is hovering around $45 million during the season, that's pathetic. And I understand you're coming off a pandemic. The Indians finished, I believe, 21st out of 30 teams in attendance, which, you know, for them actually isn't terrible, but it's still not good.
I'm surprised it was not worse.
Yeah. And you know, you got to extend Jose Ramirez. I know he's got an $11 million option this year and a $13 million option next year, so you got him for two more years. But you can't go through the same cycle again of the waiting game and the guessing game and keeping your fans waiting and guessing. You know, mm-hmm. Go if this new minority owner comes in from New Jersey and swoops in and says, "What are we doing here? What are our priorities? Let's get Chris and Mike and Tito in a room. What do we got to do?" I would think everybody in the room, the first thing they would say is extend Jose Ramirez. Now, is he going to want a Lindor deal? Is he going to want 10 at 341? Or where are we at here with that? Or is he going to take, I'm not saying a discount, but is he going to, you know, get out of these 2 years of club options and start making more right now, but it's not exorbitantly more? You know, Shane Bieber, same thing. We going to go through that with him too?
Well, I don't think Bieber is first of all, coming off a major injury is not the time to extend him. I think I know they have approached him about an extension and buying some of those years out, but so far, no traction. I know for a fact that Jose wants to stay here and he would love to play his whole career here. Now, he turned 29 on September 17th. So you're basically looking at, if you buy his next 2 years out, I mean, why couldn't you give him a 5-year deal at this point? You know, ride him until, you know, age 35 for good money. I don't know why you wouldn't. It would do wonders for your public relations problem that has been here for, you know, God knows how many years at this point. And you can listen, you're going in with the Guardians. There's two guys on this team in particular that that should be out there and put out there, and the jersey should be sold and the t-shirt should be sold. And that's Jose Ramirez and Franmil Reyes. Now with Jose, you know, you go to, so I'm in that stadium all the time, obviously. You know, I go to 45, 50 games a year.
Yeah, you have a sickness. It's great.
Yes.
I wish I was with you.
This season was, I'm looking in the crowd often. There's still more Lindor shirts than there are Jose Ramirez shirts. And Lindor's not, I broke the rules. I see way more shirts of the redacted ex-shortstop than I do of Jose Ramirez, who's actually on the team. The redacted ex-shortstop isn't with us anymore. Like, I understand, you want to wear an Indian shirt to the game or soon-to-be Guardian shirt to the game, and that's who you got, so that's what you wear. Like, me, personally, I had a couple of different redacted ex-shortstop t-shirts. Those have been put away. I will no longer wear those until, 10 years from now or something. Or no, they'll be out. But you see what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you need to go to breakingtea.com/dairy and get and restock.
Maybe I'll get the Frankie front flips on clearance.
That shirt's been burned.
Yeah, but seriously, you should be seeing Jose Ramirez and Franmil Reyes shirts everywhere.
Yeah.
Franmil too. I mean, just to get into him real quick, the personality, the heart on that guy. I mean, the story after the game this summer where the woman was in the stands and he was who was battling cancer and her mom had died of cancer, and Franmil got word of it and pointed her out in the stands and signed a ball and gave it to her and threw it to her and was touching his heart and hit the home run and was pointing at her after the, rounding the bases. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful man. And he's big and lovable. And, there's just so much there.
No, I agree.
But they're not marketing. They're not marketing him enough.
No, because our organization isn't good at it. They're not.
They're not good at marketing. That's very true.
And the city needs it.
You're right.
I mean, the Browns are really good. Right? Really good. Even when they play shitty, they win on the road. When did that ever happen? The 80s? This is like, there's something here with this football team. But the baseball team, for the first time in how many years didn't make the playoffs? So the first time in 9 years didn't finish above 500. And so you're right. Here's an opportunity now to really market, to really get the name change out there, to build something, to constantly be on social media and talk about, here's the changes we're making to the stadium. Give us an inside peek. Run features or do something with guys. Like you said, it's tough with Jose. I get it. There's a language barrier. I understand that. But they need to do some things this offseason to get the fans back and get excited. And you're right. A lot of it should be based around the Franimal. I mean, the guy's the real deal. They need to make some other changes, too. They need to shake up the TV booth. There's plenty of things that they need to be doing to make it fun and make it interesting and entertaining, not just up, new name, same team. Can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, we love Andre, and Andre should stay. But that Underwood-Manning duo has become so stale, and it's inside joke central and yucking it up and again, I give those guys a ton of credit because it's not easy to do these games from a studio that they had to do half of the games from. But like, all of a sudden, and then again, I don't even know why we're having this conversation.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Where did Book It come from all of a sudden after 15, 20 years on the job? What is that?
You just look, baseball, it's so easy to just have the old white guys in all the spots that have been in the same spots in the organization, whether it's TV booth, PR, media relations, community relations, hitting coach. No, it's true. Shake the shit up. I'm not saying fire Tito. No one's saying that. But here we are on Wednesday. The season's been over for 3 days, and Ty Van Berkelio is still the hitting coach. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's just...
Vanbo? Come on with that guy. It's like enough.
But there needs to be some things that could be spiced up here, and now's the opportunity with a new name, the new logo, all these things. It's like, hey, we're bringing in this. We're doing this. That's creative. Everybody talks about how great Antonetti and Chernoff are. Remember that they've been great for a long time. They've been very well respected for a long time. Young voices that turned out to be, really good for the organization. So,
by the way, they're still pretty young. If you think about it, I don't know how old Chris Antonetti is, but I know Chernoff is younger than both of us.
Yes.
By a lot younger. So, and yeah, I see what you're saying. But yeah, I mean, in terms of marketing the team, you're totally right. They have to do a better job. I mean, they're just, even the Cavs, who are an awful franchise, they know how to market. They're really good at it. They are. I got to give them credit.
They lure people into that arena, man. They do.
They do. They do.
That team is terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, but they do a really good job.
Right. People have fun going to that arena. They do. People enjoy the experience there. And LeBron's been gone now 3-4 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, yeah. But in the meantime, when we're talking about just like on the field stuff at this point, there's still, obviously, there's a lot of question marks. You know, who's not going to be back with this team next year? Who's going to be back? I mean, here, let's just kind of go out over the diamond. I'm going to start behind the plate. So Roberto Perez,
see ya.
He the last 2 years basically has shown that, number one, he's having a problem staying healthy. Number two, can't hit. And while he is one of the great defensive catchers I've ever seen, and was I've been in this franchise a long time, and I will love him for that and how great he was when he stepped forward in the 2016 playoffs. It's time to move on from him.
Yeah. I don't want to needle Roberto, but we're not taking a shot at his $7 million option.
No chance.
You didn't pick that. You didn't pick up on that at all.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Sorry.
There's no shot. We're not needling him. I don't see an injection there of younger. I see an injection of maybe some younger talent. Doctor's orders.
The irony of it is early in the season when he got crossed up and he broke his thumb, it was 99 who crossed him up and broke the thumb, which basically cost him, you know, 2 months of the season pretty early on.
But yeah,
that basically you won't be picking up that option, which will leave Austin Hedges, you know, who's in arbitration, probably going to make about $4 million, which seems like a high number for a guy who, you know, while you and I, and I think the knowledgeable Indians fans really enjoy and can appreciate that he's one of, if not the best defensive catcher in the game. And yes, I know, I understand his hitting, it leaves a lot to be desired, and I agree. But as you and I have discussed both on and off this podcast, if he was batting ninth and you had a 1-8 that was more formidable, no one would give a shit about his offense. You just wouldn't.
Right. No. It's a premium position. It's up the middle. It's handling the staff. And he's a leader. He's vocal. He's fun.
Yes.
He can throw people out. And you need a guy like that. He wants to be here. He's under contract. And, you know, when you're talking about Roberto Perez, who's hitting 150, and I know it's not all about batting average, but time to move on. Roberto was great. He was amazing. I mean, what he did in 2016, stepping in for Yan Gomes and starring in some of those World Series games, I mean, you can't, no one's taking that away. But in 2022, it's time to move on. And with LaVistita and Bo Naylor coming, you've got some catching depth on the way, which is great.
Yeah, you're probably a year. 2023 will probably be the arrival of LaVistita and or Naylor. So, you know, you give Hedges one more year as the starter. You bring in the veteran backup. Listen, they basically played most of the year with either, you know, Rene Rivera, LeVarn Way, Wilson Ramos. I mean, think about that. They used five catchers this season. I mean,
yeah.
That's very rare. But you know, you can get away with that for one more year, I think, and you'll be fine. And you brought it to your point, and Andre Knott had said this to us on this podcast. Hedges is a leader, is the leader of that team. He is one of the leaders of that team, and the staff all loves pitching to him. So, you know, give him the everyday job next year and figure out the backup job. Now, on to first base. My question for you, because I know you're a fan, did Bobby Bradley do enough to warrant him having the first base job undisputed next year? Or do you want to bring in someone to compete with him for that spot?
I don't, because we have enough holes other places. This is not an organization that's all of a sudden going to start writing blank checks. You mentioned the labor situation. So to me, Bobby Bradley should be the guy. Let him play. If he would have played all year, would he have hit 30 homers? Maybe he would have been close. Still, the strikeouts are bad, but this was his first full season, or not even full, but his first full chance at first base. I thought his defense was pretty good. He hit the ball the other way.
Yeah.
And I think with a new hitting coach and just some help, I think he could turn out to be okay. I'm not saying he's going to be a plus-plus everything and an all-star, but let's ride with him. He's 26. Give him the shot. He did not embarrass himself, in my opinion. What do you think?
So he started out the season, and he had 10 homers in his first 100 at-bats, and we were like, wow, you know, this is terrific. I mean, very impressive. He ended up having 16 homers in 245 at-bats. He still strikes out way too much for my liking. He had 99 strikeouts in 245 at-bats. That's a really high number.
That's very high.
Yeah, but I agree with you with if you're going to spend money, first base is probably not the spot to do it. Just throw Bobby out there, let him sink or swim. You know, he as we saw, he got thinner. The power was still there. You know, his first base play has been such an improvement over what we were told he was in the minors because he lost that weight, worked on those. Remember, he was doing the splits all the time, making stretches at first base. So I think he's done enough to at least give, you know, warrant him having the job next year. You know, if over a full season, you know, he only played in 74 games and he had 16 homers. I mean, I understand that, you know, the OPS was 739, which is fine. You know, it's for this team.
For this team, it's one of the better numbers. It's one of the higher numbers.
It was third on the team in OPS.
That's pathetic. What a pathetic offense.
Yeah, it is bad. But, you know, they really didn't have many guys over 700 at all. But yeah, I'd let him play. Why not? You know what? They also screwed him early on.
Think about that.
Quality at-bats for 2 months that he could have used to develop at this level to give the Jake fucking Bowers, Mr. Hunger Strike himself. And by the way, shout out to you for that genius Hunger Strike idea, which carried us for a couple months on this podcast. It was a great bit.
You can't just get pop on the microphone and break it down. You got to have some fun. And that was a huge mistake. I mean, for as much as we're lathering in the Cernanetti butter and bathing in it, that was a huge, huge mistake by this organization. Every organization makes them, but that was bad. That should never have occurred. He should have been up here from day one. He won the job in the spring. Tom Hamilton told us that on this show, and we're sat there for 2 months with Jake Bowers. You know, please, that was a major gaffe. You know, and look. So to me, if he's at first base, then you've got to figure out who's going to play next to him. You know, second base is wide open. Shortstop is open. I can get open.
Yes, you're totally right. So at second base, you started this season with Cesar Hernandez, who's then traded. And then we saw a rotating cast of characters, including Owen Miller, Andrés Giménez, Ernie Clement, Yu Chang. And do we think that any of those guys is the long-term solution, or did any of them show you anything that makes you feel like, okay, you know what, next year, that's the guy at second base? Because to me, that answer is no.
Well, you know me, I'm a Giménez stan, or slappy, whichever term that you prefer to use. And I was on him very early on saying, this is our shortstop. But if you want to link together shortstop and second base and say, here's this giant crop of guys, and let's figure out where to play them. Here's another couple options for you. You ready? If in free agency this organization says we've got to go out and get an outfielder, let's say Chris Taylor is the target. 31 years old, you know, solid OPS, not spectacular, strikes out a lot, but is a pretty good player for the Dodgers. And if the Dodgers have to keep some of their people around, he could be the odd man out. They've got plenty of young guys on that team to take his spot, but he's a Tito type. I could see a scenario where the Indians say, Guardians, says, we're going to sign Chris Taylor. Okay, Probably put him in the outfield. But where else can he play? Second base. Amed Rosario, same thing. He should not be the shortstop. Terry Pluto wrote today, quote, I'd consider Rosario in one of the outfield spots, opening up short for Jimenez or Phenom Gabriel Arias, but I don't think that's the plan right now, end quote. So what is the plan? What, to me, Todd, because you have to link all these positions together, this is kind of going back to second base. Arias should be the shortstop, period. That's it. His job, let's go. Then you figure out Jimenez, Chris Taylor, somebody in these other spots. Rosario. Maybe they don't want to move Ahmed to the left. Well, then you're moving him to second. But you got to figure that out now so the guy can play, can learn the position, whether it's left field, second base, whatever. But that's where I'm at with that. What do you, you know, what do you think?
I think that what would I like to happen as opposed to what do I think will happen? I think they're going to start Arias in AAA. I think they're going to start Ahmed at shortstop. And I think that the second baseman is going to be Owen Miller. And we're going to ask ourselves, and they're going to sign somebody in the outfield, and we're going to say to ourselves, when Ahmed is kicking the ball around shortstop, why didn't they just move Ahmed to the outfield?
Well, then where's where's Jimenez playing?
I think that he's going to be in AAA to start the season. This is how I think it's going to start. I don't think it's necessarily going to.
Well, is this based on Owen Miller having like a big spring or something? Because they were playing Jimenez more than Miller at the end of the year.
They were, but yes, I have a feeling that that's how it's going to be. That's, again, that's a gut feeling. Jimenez down the stretch was a vastly improved player. I will go with you on that. However, he showed nothing the first, you know, 4 months of the season. I mean, it was good. And the thing that we always forget about him is how young he is. You know, he just turned 23 years old.
Right. So, he is young. There's something there. I like him. There's something there.
I know you do.
Was he disappointing? Yeah. I'm not going to be some slappy and be like, you know, I still love him. He's great. You know, no, he struggled to hit. There were times you were texting me, this guy cannot hit. But you know what? We said the same thing about Owen Miller. We said that, and this Yu Chang thing. I mean,
well, that's here. I wasn't including you in the mix there because I think that you, number one, I think the staff really likes him. You and I both have said many times on this podcast that he's a wonderful human being. He can play everywhere, and I think the way he played down the stretch, he's your utility man because he has been around long enough at this point to he understands that role because you can't a guy who's been an everyday player for a long time is not just going to be someone who can accept that utility role and handle it. You know what I mean? So I think that Yu's been around long enough to understand that role and he's decent at it. You know, over his last 35 games, he hit .282 with 7 homers, 25 RBIs. And 7 doubles and 3 triples, okay? That's pretty good for him. Andrés Giménez's last 13 games, he hit .342, which is also great, with 3 homers. So, strong finish by both of those guys. I just don't see how you keep all of them. There's not enough room for all of them. And I think the organization really still likes Owen Miller over Giménez. Don't ask me why. I think that that's how it's going to shake out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was weird down the stretch watching Yu Chang because every single time they pitched to him with runners on, he made them pay. He was Tim Misny. I mean, he will
make them pay.
But like, you know, I saw the billboard the other day. I don't know. I mean, you're right. It's like, hey, Yu Chang again. Man, he really delivered in August and September when we were out of it.
Right.
But when we really needed him early in the season and when he was platooning at first base, he was god-awful.
Well, listen, the platooning at first base thing with Jake Bowers was ridiculous on many levels. Yu's never played first base in his life.
I know. He did the best he could.
So I give him
But utility guy, yes. But is he a winning player?
Is he a plus, better than average
player at second base on a good team? You're right. You're going to play him at third if Jose needs to DH one day. You're going to play him at second if whoever's a second baseman needs a day off. You are going to play him at first, maybe against some really tough lefties, and give Bobby Bradley a breather. If that's his role, I don't hate that. I don't hate that.
He did
earn a job for next year based off of the end of the season and how he played in the second half, much more so than any of these other utility guys we have. And that's we've said this from day one on this show, Todd. It became utility guy central this year. That's why you won 80 games, because you didn't have enough hitters, because everybody else was kind of the same. Oh, Harold, he's good in a few spots. Zimmer, few spots.
No, you're totally right.
Oscar, a few spots. They're all the same.
All these guys were the same. We had too many utility backup infielder, backup outfielders playing every single day. And we need the truth is you either need those young guys to take the next step and become everyday players you can count on, or you got to move on and find someone else. In a perfect world, Arias wins the shortstop job. Ahmed is playing left field. And your second base job is whoever does the best out of the spring, out of Jimenez and Owen Miller. I think you as a utility man, Ernie Clement as a utility man. And, you know, the other thing is they have so much depth up the middle. Tyler Freeman's going to be added to the 40-man roster. He's probably another year away. Someone's going to have to be packaged in some sort of a deal to get potentially the outfielder you're going to need. And it's going to come from those crop of middle infielders, I believe.
I like it. I got no problem with that. I mean,
sweets. I like it.
Gabriel Arias needs to play. Enough's enough. I mean, what else does he have to prove at AAA? He showed this year how good he looks, and sprayed the ball all over the place. Nolan Jones isn't ready and might not even be ready to start spring training next year after ankle surgery.
And he wasn't good this year.
You know, I'm not ready to anoint Oscar Gonzalez coming up from Columbus and being the right fielder or left fielder or anything yet. You know, we've got other young guys coming like Valera and Rocchio who are still a few years away. You don't want to trade any of those types. But to me, the guy most ready and that looks ready and sounds ready is Arias.
Yeah.
And let's go here. I mean...
Yeah, and he was in, and he got better and better as the season went on too in AAA, and you know he'll only be 22 next year, so that's you know again part of the reason I think that they probably won't start him up in the majors, and but you know what? Here's another thing. Again, I come back to this: we have no idea what's going to happen with the collective bargaining agreement. So the old. I would say they would keep him down for service time, routine. But I think that whole thing is going away. Whatever happens in this collective bargaining agreement, that service time manipulation thing will be addressed, and it won't be able to happen again where a team can hold a guy down for, you know, what is it, 45 days or whatever, just to regain another year of club control. That ain't happening. No chance.
What do you think of my Chris Taylor idea as the free agent signee for an outfield spot?
Well, here's the thing. If the Dodgers want him back, they're going to keep him because they're the Dodgers and they can do whatever they want. And I love him all over the diamond. I mean, the Dodgers play him at second. They play him in the outfield. They play him at short even if they need to. I mean, they don't need to now, but when they did, I like Chris Taylor. He's not bad. Listen, anybody's going to be an upgrade to the garbage we've been playing in the outfield.
Ooh-wee.
Which can transition us up there. I mean, I went to that last home game. And I saw the lineup and I said, you know, it's only fitting that the last time I see the Cleveland Indians as the Cleveland Indians as they are, is with one last ride with Zimmer and Mercado in the lineup together again. I don't need to see either of them in an Indians Guardians uniform.
No, to me it's over. To me it's over. And this notion of, well, we keep Bradley around and you look at the numbers and, hey, how about that WRC plus? Like TJ Zuppi says, no, I don't care about any of the fucking numbers. Zimmer stinks. Mercado stinks. Daniel Johnson's no good. Bye. All of them. Gone. Goodbye. Move on. Move along. Why would you keep Bradley Zimmer around? Well, we think we untapped something this year. No. Goodbye. The guy didn't even run. The guy doesn't even know how many outs there are on the bases. He's not good enough. It's another outfield first round bust. Own it, eat it, and say goodbye. Like, we could do better. We should be doing better.
Okay, so two things. Number one, they're going to have to feel the team somehow with outfielders. So
fine. So Harold Ramirez stays. Harold Ramirez stays.
My point is, you're going to have to. Someone's going to have to stay around because you're going to have five outfielders. You know, and unfortunately for this organization, it's not like the outfield position. There's guys, you know, knocking at the door that you're ready to say, okay, next year. You know, Oscar Gonzalez is, you know, we've been waiting, but he's ready. You know, who knows? You just don't know. I'm back and forth on Zimmer and keeping him as the fifth outfielder. I've said it before. I'll say it again. My problem, he can be a late inning defensive replacement in pinch run. And there's value there. I'm over it too.
No.
I'm over it too.
Goodbye.
Well, let me ask you this. If I would have told you that you could have kept Naquin and gotten rid of Zimmer last year, coming off of last year, would you have done it? You were ready to move on from Naquin, just like you're ready to move on from Zimmer. Is that correct?
At least Naquin is a major leaguer. Is Zimmer a big league outfielder? 100%?
You know, what's funny is we were all like, oh, you know, he's having a nice, you know, renaissance or whatever. His numbers still stunk.
I mean, right.
Like he was...
Still have the same OPS as Mercado.
669 OPS. I mean, you know.
Bye. Enough.
You know, another guy who strikes out way too. He had 122 strikeouts and 299 at bats.
But see, this is the other thing.
Wait, how about this? He had the second most strikeouts on the team behind Franmil Reyes, and Reyes played in 17 more games than him. And they were, you know, neck and neck and strikeouts. So,
you know, we talk about PR and we talk about messaging to the fans. What better message to the fans than what we trotted out in the outfield this past season was not good enough. We are going to upgrade. We are going to unearth stones. We are going to move boulders and find people. The current crop, only one stays. Harold, welcome back. Everybody else, goodbye. Daniel Johnson, peace. Mercado, love you. Bye.
What are you talking about? Miles Straw.
Well, Miles Straw is staying. Oh, he stays. But I'm saying at the other spots, yeah, Miles Straw is a lock. I love Miles Straw. I'm done.
Great.
I'm not even putting Miles Straw in the same sentence with these other guys, these other Jamokes.
No.
Miles Straw, to use a Todd Derry phrase.
Miles Straw was really a pleasant surprise.
Awesome.
I always liked him on Houston, but watching him every day really gave me a real appreciation for, you know, what a quality player he is. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's, you know, the Ken Griffey Jr. or anything like that, but that's a guy who plays about as good of a defensive center field as you can, works counts, has speed. He's a good, you know, perfect leadoff man for me. I'm all good with him. And, you know, if you told me today they're going to make a splash and make a trade and get a right fielder who they can play every day, put in the middle of the lineup, a legitimate, I mean, I know we've been throwing this name out. He's going to be a free agent and we never would sign him, but you give me Nick Castellanos in right.
Oh, God help us.
Straw in center and Ahmed in left. And I'm good. I'm
right.
Good with that.
Right.
That's what I want to see.
I mean, if you're, your outfield this year was Straw, Mercado, Harold, Zimmer, I mean, at least at the end of the year. I mean, obviously, Eddie Rosario, which was, you know, a terrible move.
And we always forget about him, but Naylor, too.
Naylor's back. Naylor's back. I don't know in what role, but he'll be back. So that's another one. So if you're talking about, like you said, well, we have to field a team. If you say goodbye to Johnson, Mercado, and Zimmer, but you bring back Harold, Naylor, you move Ahmed to the outfield, Franimal plays a few times in right field, and you sign Chris Taylor or Castellanos or whomever, Mark Canna, and you got Straw, there's your outfield right there.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Mark Canna the last time, and I've seen a lot of him, you know, just in like reading articles, people talking about how he's going to be a very coveted guy in free agency for a lot of these teams.
What about coveted line three?
Coveted line... There's a man. That was coveted line four, wasn't it? Star Johnny on coveted line four.
Those WHK days, man. So much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to Les Levine's Hall of Fame induction?
Hall of Fame induction. I'm going to be out of town.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I got an email the other day from one of the former sports professionals, and I gotta figure out if I can go to support.
Well, it's the middle of the
support
week
less.
Is the problem.
I know. It is. Plus, I kind of just want to be there to spite Greg Brinda.
Well, you want to be there because we love Les.
Well, I love. Yeah, no. Of course.
You know, I did. Was a part of the for the Parkinson's in motion event.
The walk. Yeah.
Yes, the sponsored by the Les Levine family, the 5K. His lovely wife Allison, one of the greats of all time. And so
no doubt.
I saw her, and I was a part of that whole crew with his brothers, and you know, it was good to see the family. So I did do that, obviously, but you know, I wish I could be there to see him be
so awesome. And he's going in with Big Z, which is sweet too.
Yeah. I just, you know, I know we're going off on a side tangent here, but for those who didn't know Les personally the way, you know, Matt and I did, I don't think he would have believed the outpouring of love and support, and that he's going into the Hall of Fame and all this. I don't think he would believe it. You know what I mean? Like,
No. He's
so
always
awesome.
He was always very self-deprecating. He was always very self-deprecating, and
it's just unfortunate he's getting his due when he's not. His,
I know. It sucks. What a great man, and he loved the tribe. Loved the Indians.
Tribe first. Absolutely. Loved his baseball team. I watched the did I ever tell you the story when I went to a day game with him and his daughter Jamie, and it was Jamie hadn't been to a game since like the 97 World Series, and we ended up, it was about the seventh or eighth inning, we looked up and Irvin Santana for the Angels was throwing a no-hitter.
Oh yeah.
And Les turned to Jamie and me and said, "You do know that if he throws a no-hitter here, you're never allowed back in the stadium." And he threw a no-hitter that day.
Dr. Jamie Levine Daniel.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Good people, man. Oh, good people.
Take a guess who's calling me for a second time this morning.
Don't do that on
Decline.
The air.
Decline.
Don't do that on the air. Are we on the air? Oh, shit. What would Gary D say about the 2021 Cleveland Indians? Talk about somebody that would be totally against the name change would be Gary D.
Oh, for sure. Well, no, you know what? He was a big liberal, though. He was very liberal.
Yeah, but I think he's like, he would have been kind of old school and everything else. And I don't know. Could you imagine? Cleveland radio man back in the day with Gary D was just the best. The best. That's why I got into this thing. Was just Gary. Gary was, he's one of... One of my idols, man.
Yo mama, punk.
Just incredible. Yeah. People, I mean, the stuff that he said and did on the air, can you imagine if he tried that now? He'd be off the air in 2 seconds, you know?
Guy was a pioneer.
He was.
Before his time.
All right, we got to focus.
We covered
everything but the pitching. We did the outfield. What about pitching? Pitching and defense. How about Garrett? Speaking of pitching, how about Garrett Cole last night? Can't cheat anymore.
You know, I guess $342 million ain't what it used to be, huh? You know, if you think about it, listen, nobody should have any sympathy for the Yankee fans. And I will say this, I watched that game last night, and I didn't know who to root for or who, you know, I hate both teams.
Oh, yeah.
I hate both franchises. I hate both fan bases. It was a lose, you know, and I guess when the Yankees lost, it was better, I guess. But watching Garrett Cole flounder was pretty stunning. I mean, his last five starts, he's been terrible. But, wow, I mean, you get touched up for a homer. You can't get out of the third inning in the start you're paid that kind of money for. Oof, brutal.
It's funny, the game ended, and I had it on. It was kind of on and off all night, and Red Sox got the last out, and all of a sudden I hear, dun, 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 a little Dirty Water song. I'm like, click, goodbye.
Yeah.
It brought me back to freaking 2007 for a second. No, thank you.
Fuck that. Okay, it's something the Yankees and Red Sox don't have that the Indians do have is great pitching.
All right, let's go through the rotation. Up, we're done. Let's go to the bullpen.
Well, no.
We don't have to spend any time on the rotation.
Well, I want to say something briefly about the rotation.
Yes.
Is Zach Plesac guaranteed a spot in the rotation next year?
I would say yes.
You would say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he pitch well this year? No. Did he give up too many home runs? Yes. But I still think he's a young, controllable, good pitcher.
You know, you think of, you know, high strikeout, you know, it, with him, you're thinking, you know, he seems like more of a power guy. And you know, he only struck out 100 batters in 142 innings. That's in today's baseball, that is nothing. He gave up 23 home runs in 142 innings. And Aaron Civale, by the way, gave up 23 homers in 124 innings. So, you know, I know the old adage, solo homer, it's not that big of a deal. You know, the old Josh Tomlin way of thinking. But if you're lining up the rotation today as things stretched out over the season and how things ended up playing out, I think Plesac's your fifth starter.
Hold on, let me take this a step further. Did Eli Morgan earn the job as the fifth starter to the point where this organization, which has been known to trade young pitchers before, is Zach Plesac going to be traded?
If anybody does, it will be him for not just pitching reasons, but we did learn this year that you can never have enough starting pitching, and the fact that Eli Morgan does have options remaining, and you've got to have at least eight guys you can count on. I mean, at least at this point. I mean, we do not want to go back to another year where we have to watch J.C. Mejia and Sam Hentges and Morgan, you know, all at the same time. You know, and then, you know, then they were stretching. Remember there was that time where they were like piggybacking. Quantrill was pitching four innings because they hadn't fully stretched him out yet. I don't want to see that ever again. So I am of the opinion of.
What about the Hentges Stephan duo?
Stephan, yeah.
Oh, good times, so, good but times.
I think you have to keep Morgan, Cody Morris, and you know those two, 6 and 7. Keep them down and start them in AAA. Keep them, you know, on the ready, and then you know you got other arms that are not that far behind. You know, Connor Pilkington. Peyton Battenfield was really good when the Indians ended up getting him over in the steal for Jordan Luplo.
What about X Curry?
Yeah, well, he's, you know, he'll start in Akron, but yeah, I mean, Xavion Curry had another great young arm that this franchise has. But no, I think they will keep all of those guys. The bigger issue is who do you keep in the bullpen with all of these guys that are out of options? We've talked about Sam Hentges. As a reliever, Sam Hentges is out of options. Logan Allen out of options, and you know, not that Logan Allen was any good this year, but that's a concern. I mean, you got to figure out what you're going to do with him. Is that a guy you're going to package? I don't know, but you know, outside of Class A, as of right now, who else is guaranteed for you a spot in the bullpen?
I have two others. Three others.
I have three daughters.
All of which have at least. I have three other relievers that I'm going to say right now will be on the team. All right? So Class A's one, and then here's my other three. Brian Shaw is going to be on the team. Whether you like it or not, he is. He is. That's number one.
81 appearances, Brian Shaw?
Right. Fine. Number two is Trevor Stephan. They didn't keep him all year to just discard him. He throws high 90s. I think they think there's something there. And number three is Anthony Gose. Lock and load.
Well, I we talked about this last week, but all the work they put in on Gose, you can't just let him walk now.
Exactly.
Not after 2 years.
Exactly. Stephan, okay, Gose, Shaw, Class A are going to be on the opening day roster out of that bullpen.
So I think that 99 will probably be included in that mix.
I would think so too, but you never know. What if he's bad in the spring and he has to start the year in Columbus? That's possible.
Yeah, also possible. I think it is time to bid adieu to Nick Whitgren. We're done with him.
Yeah. Did you see the goodbye that his wife posted? It wasn't really a goodbye, but it was kind of like, I was so proud of my husband this year. He's a great dad. He's a great man. Love you type of thing. That also kind of looked like a, hey, we're not going to tender you an offer type of post, you know?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the worst thing. I mean,
he was so hittable this year. So hittable.
Yeah. And you know what? They got him. They basically got him on a waiver claim from the Marlins and got three good years out of him. So you know how these guys are. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes the next year they're absolutely terrible. So you're walking from him. Blake Parker's 36 years old, did a nice job.
He did. I wouldn't be upset if he came back, but I don't know if, like you said, at that age, I don't know.
Stefan, I believe, will be back. Here's another guy who's guaranteed to be on the team next year. Nick Sandlin, as long as he's healthy.
That's my fault. That's horrible by me. Yeah, Nick Sandlin, of course.
He was hurt. Yeah,
of course. I totally forgot. Totally forgot about him. There's another one. We're already naming a lot of guys.
Yeah, so, but then you also have, you know, here's some other people. I'm not guaranteeing any of these guys are going to be there, but you're looking at guys like Justin Garza was up for a while. Kyle Nelson's still in the 40-man. I don't love him. Francisco Perez, who came up and pitched in a handful of games, but he's got a future in this pen. Mejia's out of options. I don't know if you want to keep Mejia in as a long man, maybe, but, and then Logan Allen's out of options. So, you know, you're going to have, and you know, they're going to, they always do it. They always sign someone to a minor league contract at the end, like a Blake Parker, you know, like a Dan Otero. You know, they've done it for years. Scott Acheson. It's like every year one of these guys emerges, and that'll happen again too, I'm sure. But it'd be interesting to see if Shaw, I mean, the guy pitched in 81 games, which is incredible, and now the all-time leader in appearances for an Indians reliever. It'll be interesting to see if someone else wants to give him real money
or multiple years, but I think somehow, some way he'll be back with us. I think there's a loyalty there. I think Tito loves him. I see him being back. I do but he can't pitch every day in the seventh and eighth in high leverage situations. We need to upgrade there. I'm not saying he's great, but he's a reliable guy that gets outs. And that's why I would want him back.
Middle relief. He's only, you know, it's crazy. He's only 33. It seems like he should be older than that. Blake Parker's 3 years older than he is. And the other thing is, I'm looking at his bio right now. It says Brian Anthony Shaw, nickname Geek.
I never heard that before.
I didn't either. You and I have been calling him the Shaw Dog forever.
Has Ty Van Berkleo been fired yet?
Unfortunately, no. He's still here. Yeah. He's still here. Oh, man. D's, what a season, huh?
What a season.
Yeah. This was it was definitely different. I will say that.
Monday night. You and I talked Monday, and I don't know what time we talked, but it was like at night, and I was just like, is there a game on? Like, what, you know? Like, I'm already dying. I had a client dinner last night, so that kind of was good, But like even tonight, it's like, all right, you know, what is it? Dodgers Cardinals tonight, I guess. I mean, I'll try to give that some run, but I don't know. The depression might kick in next week when it's like, what's on? You know, I guess the Thursday night football game is semi entertaining. Exactly. I think the Thursday night football game will be semi entertaining because I'll root against Stafford, but it's like, I don't know. I miss the games. I love every night dialing in and let's go.
It's always good to have it on, even if it's on in the background when I'm cooking dinner or whatever, you know. I agree. It's always like the first month or so is always the hardest when it's just not there. It's like, you know, normally we go to our old friend every night, and our old friend is no longer with us, and our old friend is also can have a new name next year.
When do we like turn the page and stop saying tribe and stop saying, I mean, I know you changed your Twitter handle, and I mean, like, is that today? I mean, are they going to do like a day where they say goodbye? I mean, I read somebody wrote that they're going to still sell Indians merchandise next year.
I don't understand. Like, to me, I would have had Guardians gear ready. I mean, I understand why, but I think by the holidays they will have Guardians gear ready. If they didn't,
they better
by Christmas, I would be stunned.
Well, they should have it before the holidays because people are going to start shopping for the holidays.
You know what I mean? You got to get time.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get and you should have some sort of flash sale, or you should have some sort of unveiling of gear and I know they did the logo thing, but everything else. But do something creative.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's never been this organization's strong suit.
No, I just want to get my Guardians game hat. You know, whatever that hat's going to look like. I just want that hat, man. I want to start rocking the gear. So just for now, I guess I just have to go to Breaking Tee and get that Guard the Land t-shirt.
It's there for you at BreakingTee.com/dairy. Go there now. For those of you that are listening, seriously, do yourself a solid right now. Go on your phone or wherever you are. Go to BreakingTee.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, and look at the Cleveland collection and buy yourself something. Get Brown stuff. The Browns are for real, man. Everyone's like, oh, Baker sucked this week. They played like crap. They won at Minnesota. That's not easy. So, like, get your Browns gear. You want that Sexland shirt? Go for it. Whatever, I'm ordering something today. I don't even know what it is. I might just get the another one of the Jose shirts, or even the I have the Bobby Bombs shirt, but I might get the Franimal shirt today.
I'm going Bieber fever. I'm going to rock that today around town just for fun.
Let's do it. BreakingTee.com/dairy. Also, our friends at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. All right, that'll do it for the 2021 season kind of review. When are we coming back for another pod?
Oh, we're gonna have an emergency pod when we make the big trade for Nick Castellanos. if any big news breaks, we'll be here.
When news breaks, we break in.
That's right.
So we'll do it. But Todd, great season, and looking forward to Guardians baseball next year.
No kidding. Before we go, let me just say thank you to all of the people that reached out to us on Twitter. The reviews that were left, everywhere. We really appreciate it. This is a big labor of love for my brother and I to do this because we love the team so much. And it's just great for Matt and I to get on here and talk about the Indians and give you guys a little peek into what it's like to be on our text chain. And shout out to the executive producer, Jeremy, for all of his hard work as well this season. But in all honesty, there is no bigger Cleveland baseball fan than my brother. He is such a pro. He's so good at what he does in doing this. If it was just me, I know when I do the solo one every once in a while when Matt's on vacation, I know it's decent, but this show is nothing without my brother. So
thank you. This is a Dairy Brothers Tribecast, and your passion. You're always always willing and able, and introduced us to our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. We got to thank Craig Lindell and that crew at WFNY. They do a great job, and they're the ones that we record, we send, we throw the opens in, and then we get it to Craig, and he takes care of us. So, and we would not have that relationship without your relationship with them. You got to get back on the WFNY website and pen some columns.
Only when the mood strikes, but it's been a long time, but yeah. Who knows? But yes, shout out to Craig. He's the man. He's always been there for us when we had something, and all of a sudden we'll just say, "Hey, Craig, we just did a pod. Here it is," and we send it to him, and he hooks us up. So, it's great to be a part of the Waiting for Next Year family. I bet I've been writing or doing a podcast for more than probably 10, 12 years at this point, which is with Waiting for Next Year. So pretty awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's it for the 2021 season, Dairy Brothers Tribecast. We'll have a new name. We'll rebrand at some point. But we leave you with this. Book it.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!